Lamed Gimel Amud Beis towards the bottom. There's a Mishnah. So we've done this topic when it comes to lulav. We've done this topic when it comes to hadasim, and now we're up to the same issues when it comes to the aravis. So the Mishnah says arava gzulav yesh psula. Similarly, an arava that is stolen or it is dried out is pasul shereshera sherel nidachas. If it's from an asherah tree. If it's from an Iran Nidachas, one of the cities that most of the people get away Zara, they have to destroy everything in the city. Psula, it's possible. Right? Everybody remembers the reasons? Yavesh is a, what kind of psula? What's wrong with it? Yavesh, what's the problem? It's not Hadar. And what about the other two? Asheri Iran Nidachas, what's the issue there? It's because it has to be burned, it has to be destroyed. So in halacha, it's not considered in existence because it doesn't have a shiur. It has to be three tefachim, like we discussed, and it doesn't have measurement if it has to be destroyed. That's the way Gemara learns. Nekta Marisha, if her head is cut off. Oi. Nifritsu aleha, the leaves have fallen off. Vatzaftsifa. And there's some sort of species called tzaftzifa. Those are psula. Kamusha v'shenishu miksas aleha. If it's only kamusha. Kamusha means it's the first stage of drying out. It's, I don't know, I don't really know what withered means. But whenever anyone tries to translate into English, they try to make a distinction between what's considered really dried out and what's the previous stage where it's something but not completely dried out. There is still a degree of moisture there. As opposed to dry out, the leaves are going to crumble when you touch them. So as long as they're still, they bend a little bit, they fold a little bit, there's still some moisture there that allows it to bend, to fold it there. So then that's called kumusha, it's still kasher. Once it becomes really dried out, that you start touching the leaves, and they start to crumble, so then that's called yavesh, and that's psula. V'shenishu miktas aleha, and if only some of the leaves have fallen off, that's still kasher, v'shel baal ksheira. What's shel baal? Yes, that's not what it means here, because that usually means any other place. The Baal means a master. So what does it mean here? Rashi writes, here's an example, it says, Mishnah, Karka she'ena tzricha la'ashkais. Land that is not necessary to water, to irrigate. The sagile b'mother ha'shamayim. That he gets enough irrigation, he gets enough moisture from rain. That's called a sadesh al Baal. There's no reason to irrigated or anything like that, it gets rain. So that's considered, that is Kshera. Why do you need to tell me that? Is there some sort of reason why we would have thought otherwise? What in the world is that? That Aravos, don't worry. Don't worry! No, you're nervous. No, you look very nervous about this. But don't worry. If you have Aravos growing in a field that grows due to rainwater, it's Kasher. Were you nervous? David, you weren't nervous. Because what's the difference where the aravos grow?
I was pretty nervous.
You were?
Yeah, I was nervous.
Who cares where the aravos grow? Shalom, who cares where the aravos grow from? Are they growing? Are they aravos? Yes. So who cares if they're irrigated or they're rainwater or they're on their phone? Who cares? So the answer is, obviously, because the Torah calls them Arve Nachal. That they grow on some kind of river, stream, something like that. But if they're growing in the middle of a field, there's no water, so they're not kosher, right? Says the Mishnah, Kshera. Is that L'chachila B'diyeved? What do you think? Is it only Kshera B'diyeved? It doesn't say that you should use them, it just says that if you did, they're kosher. Does that mean they're not L'chachila? Should we really be makbid to try and find a aravos that grow on an actual river or something like that? So we'll have to figure that out. But that's what the Mishnah says. Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis have taught us, Arve Nachal. The phrase in the Torah is aravos that grow on a river or stream. Hagdilin ala Nachal. Right. It means that's actually how they have to grow. What's the Gemara trying to say? No, it could be that's just the species. The Torah is saying that it's Arve Nachal because that's aravos. It's just a code word for aravos. But they don't necessarily have to grow anywhere specifically. Where, according to this opinion, it seems to say that they actually have to grow in that way. If they're not along a river, it sounds like they're no good. But how do you read the rest of the Mishnah? It says, Shobal Kshera. Davar acher, another opinion, arvei nachal, she'alashela mashuch kenachal. That it's alim. What are alim? That its leaves are mashuch. What does that mean? They're drawn out. Like they're lengthened. They're mashuch. They're pulled. Like mashicha. They're drawn out kenachal, like a river. You know, you have a lake, you have an ocean, but a river is generally more narrow and, you know, it goes on for a while. So they're drawn out, they're narrower and drawn out like a river, as opposed to being more circular or, you know, picture a maple leaf, picture whatever kind of leaves are. They're certainly not the shape of a nachal anyway. So far we have two interpretations of what it means, arvei nachal. Why does the Torah call them arvei nachal? So one reason is because they have to grow along a river. The other reason is because it is only talking about the shapes of the leaves. Doesn't mean they have to grow specifically along the river. Tani idach, another braisa, arvei nachal. That when the Torah says arvei nachal, ein li el arvei nachal shel ba'al v'shel harim minay. So I only know that there are arvei nachal specifically that grow along the river, but shel ba'al v'shel harim. How do you know? How do you know that if it grows in a field that gets rain, or on mountains where there are no water flowing through, how do you know that they're kosher? Talmud Lomar, arvei nachal. What? Mikol makom, however they come, in any case. What's that limud? What? We knew there were arvei nachal. That's how this whole thing started. They have to be growing along a nachal. What just happened over here? So what did Rashi say? Last two words on the page. You can read it. Lashon Rabbi. That it says arvei nachal. So arvei means like, you know, rabbis, whatever, you know. However you get them, it's fine. So that's what I would have said. Isn't it interesting? The language of the Mishnah, is the Mishnah assuming you have more than one, or the Mishnah assuming you only have one? Can you tell from the language of the Mishnah?
One.
It's funny, right?
Yeah.
Why is it a Rava Gezula? It should have said a Ravais. Gezulais, no?
Maybe if you just have one of them, that is.
Is that what it means? Maybe you only have to have one?
No.
How do you only have to have two? So our minhag is for sure, but we'll have to see as we go. Does the Gemara ever address that? We didn't talk about it yet. But we'll have to see. If you're a betting man, you look at this drusha from the Gemara and you say, obviously you don't have to have more than one. Because if you do have to have more than one, so then how could you ever say that you can use arvei nachal from a field or a mountain or whatever? Because the way we know it is because it's plural. But if the plurality is just there to tell us you have to have more than one, you can't learn this. So it sounds like you just have to have one. So we'll have to come back to that. Abishol Oimer, Abishol says, arvei shtayim, achas lululav v'achas lemikdash. That he agrees with this, that arvei doesn't mean you have to have more than one in your arba minim. It means that there are two types that you need for the mitzvah in general. What do you mean, two types of mitzvah in general? One is for your lulav and one is for the mikdash. Eh? What's this talking about? Anybody know? Because in the mikdash every day, they used to take these arabas and they would lean them up against the mizbeach and the tops would be flopping over the mizbeach a little bit. And that was a separate, they walk around it. There was a separate mitzvah of Aravos in the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at the top. Rashi, Abishol, Oimer, Arvei, Damar Kra, this plural that it says in the Pasuk, Leila Hachshir Shel Balba, it's not coming to make kosher, to indicate that a rainwater field is kosher. El Lamedcha comes to teach you, Tzarech Shtei Mitzvah Shel Arava. There are two mitzvahs to do with Aravos. Achas la'agadah b'lulav, one you bind with your lulav, v'achas la'mikdash. Rashi says, la'hakif es ha'mizbeach, to surround the mizbeach, jirmei l'kamper lulav rava, as we will see later on, and daf mem hei omid aleph. Wow, so Abishol seems to say, no, there's no indication from the plurality that you're allowed to get arvei nachal from a field that gets rainwater or from mountains. Wow. So according to the Rabbanan, who are learning that it's plural, that you're going to have a Ravos Shel Ba'al Shel Harim, how do they know that there's a mitzvah of a Ravos and a Mikdash? The answer is, Hilchos Gemara Lehu, Halacha, they learn out. What does that mean? Halacha is a gemilu. So this is a phrase that comes up a lot in Shas, that the Gemara will often say, this is a halacha l'moshe misinai. And one of the ways that the Gemara says halacha l'moshe misinai is this way, where it says, Hilchasa gemiri lehu. There's halacha that they learn out. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. The Amar Rasi, Amar B'yechanan, Eser netiyos, kama, Arava, kama, the Nisuch Hamayim, halacha l'moshe misinai. There are three mitzvahs that are really not spelled out in the Torah, and we only know them because of halacha l'moshe misinai. Let me ask you a question. Usually, when we speak about halacha l'moshe misinai, do you know what that usually comes to teach us? Right. Meaning a detail, usually it's like shiurim. That's the most common. We saw last semester, shiurim, mechitzin, chatzitzin, halacha l'moshe misinai. That dimensions and mechitza, which is also like a dimension, and what's considered to be a chatzitza by tevila and the mikvah and whatnot, those details are all halacha l'moshe misinai. They're not spelled out anywhere. So that's most typical. The least typical, I think, is when the halacha l'moshe misinai teaches us a new mitzvah. That's extremely unusual. That we don't know the mitzvah from the Torah Shebichsav, the whole mitzvah is Torah Shebichsav. Wow. So that's a big chiddush. So that's what this Gemara is saying. That the Rabbanan hold, the only way they know this is it's not hinted to in the pasuk at all. It is purely halacha l'moshe misinai. And there are three things like that. There's what's called the Eser Netios, we're not going to get into, but that's a sugya in Shemitah. That when it comes to Shemitah, you know how you're supposed to light Shabbos candles. How many minutes is our minute to light them earlier? 18. Which really means that, like, that's when you take your quick shower because you're running late, right? I'm not really supposed to do that. So, really, you're supposed to try to start Shabbos before Shabbos starts. Why? Is it just because we're afraid you're going to violate Shabbos?
No, it's like
Hidur Mitzvah. It's sort of similar maybe to the concept of Hidur Mitzvah. It's Tosefta Shabbos. You're supposed to add on to Shabbos. Where does that really come from? It really comes from Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, there's language in the Torah that indicates you're supposed to add on to Yom Kippur. So even though the Rambam doesn't have it, by Shabbos, we paskin, you're supposed to add it on not just to the Shabbos of all Shabbosos, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, but it's supposed to be every Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is supposed to be like that. You're asked to, well, you're supposed to add on to Shabbos. Okay, so you have the Shabbos in time. What's the Shabbos in location? What other Shabbos? What's the Shabbos of the earth?
Shemitah.
Every 7 years. It's like Shabbos, seventh day. The Shabbos of the earth is Shemitah. There's also, guess, adding on to the Shabbos of the earth as well. Which means that you're not supposed to be working the land even before the Shemitah begins. However, there's a certain exception to that called Eser Netios. There are certain things that you're allowed to do because they're necessary for their growth, whatever. You're allowed to dig around them and do certain things around the roots and around the trunk. So that they don't dry out and whatnot. So those things are exceptions to the rule, which is clear in the Torah that there is a certain degree of Tosefes Shemitah. These are the exceptions. So that's one halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, that does sound like a detail. But Arava and Nisuch Hamayim are two things that are mitzvahs in and of themselves that are not spelled out, according to Rabbanan, in the Torah Shebech Sav at all, not even hinted to. Well, maybe hinted to a little bit. Says what?
Says the word are not Torah.
And what did the Chachamim learn out from there? Not Mizbeach. Not that you have to circle the Mizbeach. They learn out from there that you have to have Aravos in your Lulav. Are you allowed to, it says Arvei Nachal, do they have to be ones that grow along the river? No, because it says Arvei, it's plural. So however they grow is fine. Well, how do you know you need to put Aravos around the Mizbeach? That mitzvah, putting rabbis around the mizbeach. How do you know? So the Rabbanan say, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. It's not hinted to in the Torah. And nisuch hamayim, can anyone explain what nisuch hamayim is?
Forms of the water. It's in Tanis. It's like
what's nisuch hamayim? Anybody know? Nisuch hamayim. It has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, has to do with the mizbeach. People like to use fancy English words every once in a while because it makes us feel proud of ourselves. Libations. Nobody knows what libations are. No one's ever used that word and never will use that word in a sentence. But, you know, Chumash get to use funny words. Behold libations! You know, it's fun. So.
It's not like an honorary toast or something.
A what?
Like an honorary toast, like your. No? Or libations? No?
No, libations are when you pour something onto the Mizbeach, onto the altar. Libations. So there are wine libations and water libations. Every single day when you bring karbanos, there's what's called nisachim. Whenever we say musaf, whenever we daven and we mention karbanos, that's niskayim. What's who can come up with an example? Well, we don't have Rosh Chodesh for a little while, but we'll do, I guess, that. When's Rosh Chodesh? Anybody know? This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevorchen, which means next Thursday, believe it or not, a week from tomorrow is what?
Adar.
Rosh Chodesh Adar. A week from tomorrow.
So it'd be like,
which means we are having a pizza party! So next Thursday, don't buy lunch.
So when the guy shows up, he says Rosh Chodesh Adar Yom
Ha'amish. Yeah. Yes,
next
yes.
Thursday.
Next Thursday, we will have the pleasure of Reb Israel. He's going to come and schmooze with us over our pizza. So I'm going to read to you, since we'll be Rosh Chodesh in the near future, what we say in Musaf. Of Rosh Chodeshem takrivu eila l'Hashem. On your Rosh Chodeshes, you shall bring a burnt offering to God. Parim b'nei bakar shenayim. What's parim?
Cow.
B'nei bakar.
Cow.
Shenayim.
Two.
V'ayil echad.
Rams.
Kivasim. Shepels. B'nei shana. In their first year. Shiva. Tamimim. And they have to be tamim from? From what? What's tamim? Without blemish. No mum. Uminchasam. What's minchasam? They're mincha. Because there's a flower offering that goes along with it. Veniskehem. And their libations. Which is wine. Kimidubar, as is said, namely, Shloisha esroinim lapar. Three esronim, that's a measurement. Three esronim of flour for the cow. Ushnei esronim la'ayil. And two isarons of mincha for each ram. The isaron la'keves. And an isar for each shepsel. Yayin kinisko. And wine in the amount of its libation. And then we add one more at the end. By the way, there's also, we forgot to mention one. There's a sa'ir. What's a sa'ir? Goat lechaper to atone. Ushnei simidim kilchasam, and you know the regular tamid korbanos, the korban tamid, two of them in the morning, afternoon kilchasam as their halacha, which you know we don't mention in Musaf because we do that every day. You know that's not really mentioned in Musaf. Musaf only there for the additional offerings. So that's nisachim, niskehem. We always mention the libation. So every single day for the korban tamid, there was wine libations, and there was also wine libations whenever there was any korban that was brought. But on Sukkos, there was water. Nisuch hamayim. That is not explicitly mentioned at all in the Torah, in the Torah Shabbat. Seich hachamim, that is a mitzvah that comes out of the Torah Shabbat. Halacha l'moshe misinai. So those are the three. Vayter in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon. Arvei nachal, this phrase, arvei nachal, hagadeles al hanachal, that they grow on the river. Until now, we thought that meant that maybe I actually have to use ones that grow on the river per se. And so we said, arvei, according to the rachachamim, includes even ones that grow where there's no river. But now the Gemara has another drasha, prat l'tzaf tzifa, hagadela ben aharim. It doesn't mean that it has to grow on the river, it just means, in terms of the species, it's the types that grow along the river and not the ones called tzaftzifa that don't grow on the river. They only grow in the mountains. So it's an identification of the species. So arvei nachal, what we call aravos, grow both along river and not along the river. But what's called Tzavtzafa, you won't find them where? By the river. You will only find them away from the river. Yeah, so Tzavtzafa is a very specific kind, and they don't grow by the river, they only grow on the mountains, but apparently they're somewhat related, or you could at least confuse them. Those are no good. So this is another version of what Arbe Nach is coming to do. It's coming to exclude specifically Tzavtzafa. Amr Bezeira, Rizera said, Micro, what's the pasuk? Kach amayim rabim, tzavtzafa samay. Take on, well, it doesn't really mean that, right? Something about a lot of water, and then maybe place or something about tzavtzafa is a very strange pasuk, a very unusual pasuk. And Rabbi Zeira says, you're going to see something about Tzavtzafa from here, and that's what we're going to try to figure out. The pasuk says, Kach almayim rabim. What do you think kach means? Yeah?
Here,
to figure it out. Almayim rabim we got. On many waters. Tzavtzafa, well, that's the name of a certain type of tree. And then, how do you pronounce this? It's not shemo. It's sumo. They placed it. They placed it. So, what Yechezkel HaNavi was saying basically was that you took what should have been along the great many waters, and you made it into something that's disconnected from all of that, and it's on a mountain disconnected from all of its source water. What should have been attached and connected to the many waters, you have isolated it, and it's become, you've placed it, like some, sim shalom, samo, you've placed it, you've made it into a tzavtzafa. However, our Gemara has drushes from this. What are the drushes? Amar Le'abaye. So Rabbi Zera seems to say that that's how you see the Tzavtzafa is defined as growing away from water.
That pasuk itself is metaphoric, right?
Yeah, it was intended to be metaphoric. Amar Le'abaye. Said Abaye v'dilma parushi kamifarish. How do you know? You're saying that it's detached from the many waters, because they made it into Tzavtzafa, which is detached from it. Maybe it's just an explanation. Kachamayim Rabim, something is on the many waters. Umay Niyu, and what is this thing on many waters? Tzavtzafa. The Tzavtzafa is.
Can we just say it's on the mountain?
Tzavtzafa Somo. The way we originally read it was what is supposed to be along the many waters. You've made it into Tzavtzafa, which obviously is not along the many waters. It's the opposite. Abaye is saying, how do you know? Maybe it's just defining the thing that we just mentioned. Kachamayim Rabim. What are you supposed to, what is related to the many waters? Tzavtzafa, Samu. It's a, Tzavtzafa is. Imkain, my Samu. Well, what do you mean that you placed it? I mean, you placed it, you made it different, no? Isn't that the whole point? So that doesn't make sense. It's not defining what's along the many waters. Aribo Amrakash Baruch. Aribo said, Hashem says, Ani Amarti Shi Yisrael Lefonai Kekach Almayim Rabim. Kash Baruch says, I want that Bnei Yisrael should be before me like they are connected, placed on the many waters. Mind you, and what does that refer to? Arava, like an Arava is. The Hain is somewhat Sman, and they made themselves Kitzavtzafa Shebeharim, like the Tzavtzafa that only grows in the mountains. So I don't know, just al regalachas, I guess our assumption would be, without really dealing with Mefarshim and going into it in depth, that it sounds like water, of course, water, Torah is compared to water. Water is the source of all of the life of these things. So water is considered to be the source of life. Instead of wanting to be connected to the many waters, so Klal Yisrael decided they're going to disconnect themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to somehow get nourishment away from the water and grow in the mountains where things are lacking the source of life.
Sinai.
What?
Sinai. So that, I mean, that's not disconnected from the
But that was sort of like Nesina Satar, and after that, there's supposed to be a constant connection. Okay. Ika demasni lala haiku amasnisa. There are those that connected, not just an independent question of a pasuk, but it's connected to the Mishnah. Kachamayim rabim tzavtefo samoy. That based on this pasuk, maskif la Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, in other words, that's connected to the Mishnah that said that tzavtefo is no good. And the Mishnah itself is connecting it to the pasuk. That's another way to learn the Masorah over here. It comes out to all be the same thing, but the question is, how is it taught? How is it learned? So is it that the pasuk was quoted to prove that tzavtefo grows on the mountains and is no good? Or is it was like an independent shaila? Oh, how do you know tzavtefo is no good? They asked on the Beis Midrash. So, and then it became a conversation. No. Maybe this is actually part and parcel of the Mishnah. Maskif le Rabbi Zeira, and then Rabbi Zeira asked, V'dilma b'rishikam b'farish, this is our version, we had Abaye asking this a minute ago. Now Rabbi Zeira is the one that's saying, how do you know maybe tzavtefo is the definition of being on the many waters? Kachamayim rabim ayniu. What is it, tzavtefo? Imkein mayit samug. We're asked the same question. If that's the case, then what do you mean you placed it? Then that would be where it already was. Amar ribo, amar garish baruchu. Ani amar tishay yisrael lefanai kachamayim rabim. I want Bnei Yisrael to be like they're on the connected to the many waters. Am I new? What is that? Arava. They made themselves like tzavtefo that's in the mountains. So I don't know that there's enough Kamina here, but the Gemara has two versions of whether or not this was an independent question in the Beis Medrash or this was a flow from the Mishnah that the Mishnah itself is quoting the pasuk and Rabbi Zeira is asking a question on it. Tana Rabbana. Eizu Arava erit tzavtefo. What is an Arava and what is a tzavtefo? Arava. If you're looking for signs, the Arava, Kana Shala Adom. What's the Kana? The stem is Adom, which is red. Vale Shala, and its leaf is Mashuch, drawn out, long. Upiha, so its mouth, but it doesn't really have a mouth. So that means the edges of the leaves. The edges of the leaves are Chalak. What's Chalak? Smooth. Tzavtzufa is not like that. Tzavtzufa, the Kana Shala is Lavan. The stem is white. Vale shala, and its leaf is agul. Round, almost not really circular, but rounded. Upia, doima la magal. And its edges are like a, what's a magal?
A circle.
No, an agul is a circle. A magal is like a sickle, like one of these circular saws types of things. Yeah, he made a circle. I'm ma'agal. I don't think so. I think it's an ayin. A ma'agal is a, like a, what do you, whatever you call those things. You know, like in the Russian flag. In the Russian flag. Yeah. Don't ma'agal. Ve'hotanya doime le'magal kasher. Wait a minute. If that's true, then what's wrong with a tzavtzufa? Didn't we just say that if it's similar, if aravas are similar to a magal, it's still kasher? It's only if it's similar to a masar, like some kind of like saw, where it's very, very, the leaves are very, very serrated. So then it's pasul? Because you can't have it both ways. If the problem of the tzavtzufa is that the leaves are like a magal, so they're like bent, I guess, like a, almost like a half circle. So then, what's the problem? Shouldn't that be fine? It's only if they're like serrated and straight that it's a problem, like a saw. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Kitanya hahi, when we learned that braisa, bechilfa gila. So, I don't know what it is, but that's the name of a species. That's talking about the chilfa gila. What does Rashi say over here? Nothing. Chilfa gila. Min arava ksherehi. It's a kosher type of arava. Upia dema lamagal. And it just happens to be almost like bent in a half circle. Aval shara arava pia chalak. But the rest of the arava, so the edges are very smooth. So if you have one that is serrated, like on both sides of the leaves, and they're straight, that's a problem. But if it's bent, then even if it's serrated, I guess maybe even on one side, maybe. So then that would be still okay. Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, Hay Chilfa Gila Kasher Laishana. Ah, so you see from this, that a chilfa gila is kosher for hoshanas, for aravis. Yeah, okay. Pshita! Obviously, mao the same. I might have thought hoyalis l'shem levai lenis kasher, because it's not called arava, it's called chilfa gila. It has its own like specific name. Like we said before, when something is a generic type, then all of them are good. Are these aravas? Yeah, this type of that. It's aravas, aravas, aravas. Everyone calls them aravas. Once it's like, you know, what did we have before? The mitzri hadassim or something, remember? Whatever it was called? Yeah. So then it has a specific name. So the havamina was, that's no good because it needs to be just generic. No. That's okay. Even though it has a specific shame, it's still kosher.
That's a
pasuk,
right? It's saying it's a pasuk that any will is okay, no matter what the location is. Isn't that a form of pasuk?
We said before that according to Rabbanan, that if it's considered to be aravos, so then they don't have to grow on the river, they can grow anywhere, even in a field.
Right, right. I thought Akash Baruch Hu said that, no?
The Rabbanan holds.
Doesn't say Akash Baruch
Hu said? What do you mean? Arve, that was the plural. That's the Gemara asks.
Oh, okay, fine. And then they basically deduce from that that it would include any type, no matter
what. Right. But maybe it's not considered to be aravos. Tzavtzufa right. Is not considered a ravis. They grow on them. They grow on the mountains. But what about this one, chilfa gila? So that is that's a species of a rava, right. But maybe it's not legit. The answer is even though it does have its own name, but still it's considered to be a ravis. That was a chiddush that Abaye wanted to bring out. Ve'machanami, maybe in a chanami it has a separate name. It's no good. No, arvei nachla marachmanu mikol mokum. That's why the Torah says arvei. Is that not only is it indicating, like we said before, that wherever it grows is fine, but it means any type of legitimate arava is also fine. Even though it may have a specific name, it's a nickname or whatever, a specific name, it's still fine. Amar v'chista, hanitlas mile, ishtani shamayu. Okay, what the point of this Gemara is, I'm not exactly sure. This is an unusual Gemara, so your thoughts are more than welcome. But the Gemara says there are certain things, these three things, Ishtane Shamayu, their names have changed, right? Shamayu means their names. Ishtani is from Shinui. They have changed their names. Mechichar of Beis HaMikdash, from the times of Korban HaBayis when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the name became the opposite of what it used to be. You get the sense that the Gemara is trying to say that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, things got like flipped opposite. But why does it have to be these three things? So if we wanted to learn this Gemara as an Agadita, probably each one of these would represent something that sort of got flipped on its head. Mashal l'mahadavar doyma, but not the same thing. Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichron Ibracha, like to point out that a lot of times modern Hebrew is exactly the opposite of Lashon Kodesh. Shnei luchos habris. We're going to learn very soon in the Parshios about the luchos. Luchos, what does luchos mean? How would you translate luchos? Tablets. How do you write on a tablet?
Carefully.
Carefully? I'm not going to pray.
You carve it in.
You carve it in. You engrave it. So, is it erasable?
No.
No, not at all. It's part and parcel of the tablet itself. For that reason, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, now words of Torah should be so ingrained into you, literally ingrained in the grain itself. Kasveim aluach Libecha, he says. Write them on the luach of your heart. So what does that mean? The Torah needs to be part of your emotional reality. The way that you should feel about things should be what the Torah says to do. You should feel that way. Write them on the luach of your heart. Engraved. But in modern Hebrew, luach means a calendar. I know it means a calendar. But other than calendar, what does it mean?
Board.
It means like a chalkboard. A luach. So when you want to get rid of the words on it, what do? Erase them and they're gone. Says Ramosh Shapiro, that's a corruption. It's a corruption of the word luach. Yeah, modern Hebrew. It's a corruption of the word. Luchot. Luchot abrit. What do you give me a hard time about? Luchos! The luchos! Well, so the word luach is certainly a corruption of the word in Lashon Kodesh. Anyway, so these are three things also that just got flipped around after Korban HaBayis. What are they? Chalfisa, Arvisa. Arvisa, Chalfisa. So, what does Rashi say? Chilfa Arvisa, Lavino Chilfa Gila, not Chilfa Gila, Chilfa, or Chilfa, so whatever the Girsa is actually Tzavtzifa. Va'achshav Nishtanis Mishma V'Korin La'arava. So that gets confusing. So what we call Tzavtzifa, people refer to as Arava. And Arava became Tzavtzifa. What? Meaning, what used to be puzzle, they now use the kosher word for it? And the kosher word is used for the thing that's puzzle? So you do get the sense, the impression of it. What I'm trying to say is that things really got flipped on their head with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Things that people used to think were puzzle, they've made kosher, and kosher they've made puzzle.
Actually, is kosher used to be puzzle, or just the word is
the Gemara is saying that the word people now call the thing that used to be puzzle, they call it the Arava. The Tzavtzifa, people now call it Arava.
But the thing that used to be puzzle, why does it mean it doesn't mean it's kosher enough?
It doesn't mean it's kosher. It's still puzzle. It's just that people call it the wrong thing now. Okay, that's number one. The Gemara says, my nafkamina, who cares what people call it? Like, what is this, some kind of like Hebrew class? This is linguistics 101, 1205, 1105. 13, what is this? Manaf Kamino cares! Zak the Gemara, Lelulav. You gotta know which one's kosher for the Arba Minyan. Okay? Shipura, Chatzitzarta. Shipura comes to the word shofar, Chatzitzarta comes to the word Chatzitzrois. Chatzitzrois, I guess in Torah, means the trumpets, the silver trumpets. And shofar means a shofar. But shofar means a bent ram's horn, Chatzitzarta is some other kind of thing. And so the people started mixing them up, and they started calling them the opposite. Chatzitzarta, shayfarta. My nafkamina, what's the difference what people call it? The shayfar shal Rosh Hashanah. Because shayfar shal Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be a bent ram's horn. So you have to know, when we say shayfar, you have to know what it means. It's not what people call shayfar bezman hazeh. What people call shayfar bezman hazeh is actually not what you're supposed to use. It's supposed to be what people originally called shayfar, which is the bent horn.
We're not using the right
thing now? No, we're using the right thing. It's just a question of the linguistics. Yeah, I don't know. Nowadays, people call shofar the right thing.
Maybe
I don't know. Pesarta, psoira, psoira pesarta. What is this? What does Rashi say this is? Big and small what? What? It's funny, Rashi just says, ha'achas gedol, ha'achas ketana. What is it referred to? Tables.
The small table was like buying and selling.
Right. So they had big tables and little tables, and people started calling one the other name, and the other name. What? Who cares what name you call a table? I mean, I feel mekachu memkar. Mekachu memkar. What's mekachu memkar? What is what business? What in what way?
Buying and selling.
What's an afkamina? What does that mean?
If you don't want to get confused between what you're buying.
Yeah, you go into a store and you say I want X, and you use the word psyra, psyarta, whatever, you would use one of the words. So then someone sells you the opposite type of table. So you say, that's not what I want. Give me my money back. And he says, I'm not giving you your money back. That's what we call it. So if that's the way that it's really called, you know, that's the point, right? It's not a mekach tos, because that's what it's called. So it has nafkaminas mekach memgar, what people call it. Amar Abaye, afni omer bekase havilila, havilila bekase. There's another one I think that people have mixed around, which is, wow, pretty important for Hilchos Treifos, is that there's something called the Beis HaKoseis and something called Havlila. So I don't know exactly what these things are. You know, there's a story about Rechaim Brisker that he was the Rebbe, like he was in the yeshiva. So he used to give shiurim on stuff, and he knew Kol HaTarkula, but he was not involved in practical rabbinics in a lot of ways. So the posek for Brisk apparently is out of town, and Rechaim had a paskin shilas while the posek was away. And a woman came to him with a shila on an animal, on a chicken, whatever. Was it kosher, was it not? So she showed him the thing that she had the question about. And he asked one of his sons or whatever to tell him, what is that? he didn't know what it was. So they told him that's the kerkoban. Oh! The holy korkoban, the holy korkoban, it's kasher. He knew what it was, he knew where to go, but he'd never seen it before. Talk about needing visual aids when you learn yeshiva, you know? So that's the story they say about Rechaim. So whatever these things are, there's the Beis HaKosos, which is part of an animal that is protected more by the rib cage, and there's something else called the Hovlila, which is not so much. And you need to know if a needle is poking through. So it depends on where the needle is. Let's say, by the way, Chalav Yisrael. So Chalav Yisrael is a Chumrah. Ramosh Feinstein said that certainly Bisman Azeh, when a milk company is going to get in trouble by the government, if they mix in pig milk with the milk, so then that's the same thing as having a mashkiach. It's all a question of consequences and how seriously they take it. So all milk that has, you know, we know there's no anything else mixed in, is technically Chalav Yisrael, in a sense that it's kosher, and there's a mashkiach, there's penalties. And then there's a Chumrah of Chalav Yisrael where a Jew is actually there monitoring things. There was a time when, because of what was ever happening with the cows and the nourishment, whatever, that either it really happened or there was a suspect, they just suspected it, but they were actually puncturing the stomachs of the cows because of excess gas. And that actually made the cows into a treifa. And all milk, an animal that theoretically is going to die within 12 months, but it's only specific things that are considered a treifa. So an animal nowadays may have what's considered a treifa problem, live more than 12 months. An animal may live for less than 12 months and still not be considered a treifa based on whatever illness or problem it has now. So there are certain technical things that are called a treifa and has really nothing to do nowadays with whether it's going to live 12 months or not. But in any case, if an animal is a treifa, any milk that comes from it is also treifa.
While still alive, it can be considered a treifa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And any milk that comes from it is treifa. So that meant that all of that milk that had no supervision was technically not kosher. But any place where there's Jews involved, they say you're not allowed to puncture the stomach, the milk becomes not kosher. So there are other issues that came up.
I think
that happens a lot when they puncture the stomach. Anyway, it's an issue. So that's what this Gemara is addressing. As there are certain parts of the animal which, if they get punctured by a needle, you have to know, does it go all the way through or does it only go partially the way through? Maybe it swallowed a nail. Who knows what the case may be. If there's a puncture, is it a puncture that goes all the way through or doesn't go all the way through? So the Gemara says, these two parts of the animal have been switched. People call them the opposite. Asks the Gemara, ask Anabaye, Lemainaf Gemina, who cares what people call it? Lemachat, a needle, hanimsa, that is found, bo'ayve beis ha-koisois, in the thickness of the wall of this part of the animal called the base, ha-koisois.
Or it doesn't have like two layers.
Yeah. So if it doesn't go all the way through, versus if it goes all the way through, so you have to know which part of the animal it is to know if the animal is a treifa. And if it goes all the way through in this one, and that's not the one, then it's going to be a treifa. So you have to know the parts of the animal, what's what, to know if it's considered to be a treifa or not. Amar Reva Bar Yosef, Afani Omer, I also say, Bavel, Bursif, Bursif, Bavel. That people have confused the location of this place called Bavel and Bursif. Amai, Naf Kamina, who cares what people call it? Legite Nashim. For divorce documents with a woman, because when she's divorced, you have to write down the place where the get is written, where she's from, all the different issues about what you have to write down, and you have to know precisely what it's called, so that you know how to identify it, so that the get will be a get that is kosher, and not one that is not. We'll stop there, take a 5-minute break, and we will learn halacha.